Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, a show for marketers by marketers to talk shop and share insights on the ever-changing landscape of the digital world. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. Grin is the number one creator management platform designed for the next generation of brands who recognize that in the creator economy, authenticity is everything. To get insight on how Grin can help you manage your creator strategy, visit grin.co. That's grin.co. Now, my guest today is Jason, who is the founder of MarketPrice. MarketPrice is a platform empowering the 99% of athletes to connect, create, and grow through brand partnerships. And in his career, he's been with Nielsen, Open Sponsorship, and Yelp, and now counts himself very lucky to lead a team of industry veterans who bring experience from Gatorade, USC, the NHL, ESPN, IndyCar, that's just to name a few. But MarketPrice has sparked more than 7,000 athlete brand partnerships. And honestly, they're really trying to stay ahead in the creator economy when it comes to athlete marketing. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for my guest today, Jason Berkman. All right, Jason, welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. Super excited to have you on to educate us a little bit more on athlete marketing and collegiate athletes specifically.
Nailed it, Katya. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me, and I can't wait to see where this conversation goes. Let's have some fun.
Same. We have a compass. We know we're going north and we will get to our destination. Before we dive into just kind of all of my questions that I'm sure that will direct us somewhere else, is I'd love for you to provide the audience just some context, just a high level context of who you are and what your area of expertise is.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Jason Berkman. I'm the CEO and co-founder of MarketPrice. Huge fan of the Grin Gets Real podcast. I don't know if that's what you were asking for. So shout out plugging the podcast you're already listening to. No, but my background, I guess, super high level. I've worked in sales forever. I am a huge, huge sports nerd. I knew I always wanted to get into the sports space.
Yeah.
And I've worked on both sides of the coin. So I've worked on the brand side. So I've gone from cold calling local car dealerships, helping them connect with athletes, all the way to working with Anheuser-Busch and DraftKings, CBS Sports, some enterprise businesses on educating and empowering them to connect with athletes. And then I've also been on the agent side where I've started my own sports marketing agency representing athletes, helping them connect with businesses. And now I'm doing a little bit of both at MarketPrice. So we've created a two-sided marketplace where brands and athletes and sports agents are able to connect. We launched last January, so about 21 months ago, if my math is correct. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But we've facilitated just about 7,000 partnerships between athletes and brands, which is still mind-boggling for me.
Yeah.
I feel like a matchmaker, and every single match is just the coolest thing ever. So we've been having a blast helping athletes and empowering athletes to connect with businesses and see what comes from it.
Well, yeah. And I know that the NIL ruling, what was it, over a year ago now, really just kind of affected your business position. I think when we originally talked, you were like, yeah, this was perfection, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's not often that your TAM or total addressable market 100x's overnight, but you know, we went from helping 5,000 professional athletes to 500,000 collegiate athletes overnight. And I mean, I'll never forget on July 1st, we had a team of four people at MarketPrice. It was two developers, marketing manager, and me. And I had like 15 calls a day, every single day with athletes and brands. And they were like, what is this? What is going on? And, you know, we've had to learn a lot over this last year and a few months, and we're still learning, but
yeah,
it's just crazy when that happens overnight. And it's, again, it's been a blast keeping up with, and we're excited to see how it continually develops, but I'm sure we'll dive into
that. So, we will definitely dive into that. A big part of why I wanted you on here as well is because of your experience and then now working with collegiate athletes. We almost got real deep into it before we even hit record on here, but you have an interesting perspective because you've worked with professional athletes and now you're building relationships with collegiate athletes. I imagine there are a lot of similarities, but I imagine there are a lot of differences between both. If you can unpack a little bit of like, what is a brand up against when they want to work with a collegiate athlete versus professional athlete?
Yeah. How much time do you have? No.
We've got all the time.
Yeah. It's been awesome to see just because the collegiate athlete market is brand new, right? NIL is brand new, but working with athletes on marketing deals has been happening forever. Now, the biggest difference I've seen from working with professional athletes and student athletes is just on the student athlete side, the investment that they give you in regards to like time and investment of the interest in working with them. Like these pro athletes, they make, whether it's millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, like their main source of income is their sport. And they sort of just see it as a, oh, cool, another marketing deal. Great. That's part of the game. With these student athletes and from a brand's point of view, we've worked with literally thousands of student athletes, and all of them are like the wide-eyed, bushy-tailed of, oh my God, I could do this. This is so exciting. What do I do now? Yeah. And from a brand, and again, you cover this a lot in your show, but you want to make sure that you're working with an athlete who authentically loves your product. They believe in it and they speak to why they use it. And I've seen so many brands be so thrilled working with student athletes because it's like they're jumping over the moon to promote your brand because of just, they've never had the opportunity to do this before. So that's been the coolest thing for me, like seeing these student athletes, and I have a million and one stories, but just student athletes seeing a product that fits their personal brand. And keep in mind, they're also 18 to 22 year olds. They're really savvy on social media. So they know what they're doing. Not only they're more talented, but they're investing their time and efforts. And again, we'll get to pricing, I'm sure too, but like, it's a lot less significant of an investment on the brand side to get your foot in the door with student athletes who could be lifetime ambassadors for you.
Well, and I would imagine though, because of their age between 18 and 22, a lot of them haven't had like a formal job. Their sport is their job. School is their job. Yeah. So as a brand, what do I need to know going into that? Like, is that going to require more time on my behalf? If I'm a brand, for example, when I am working with that athlete.
Yeah, I think it could go both ways, right? I think as a brand, like keeping expectations in mind of, I just spoke with the quarterback of Penn State about a deal, and he literally had his backpack on. He was there for 5 minutes. And then he's like, cool, I got to go to the facility to practice. And these student athletes, it's 5 a.m., 6 a.m. to 7, 8 p.m. And then they just go to sleep and their entire day is busy and they're not thinking of marketing deals. It's not the first thing that they're thinking of. But with that being said, if you can figure out a way of why your product fits into their day-to-day life and that story of how they could use your product and why they use your product, and really not only setting expectations with the athlete, but getting them excited about it too, of like, hey, this is a cool opportunity as well. So I think from the brand's point of view, in terms of like the time it would take, it's probably the same with influencers. It's like, well, what does your schedule look like? The student athlete is going to have a lot more going on probably than a typical, I would say, general influencer, but it's keeping those expectations in mind, because the time that you spend up front, you're going to save on the back end, where again, these 18 to 22 year olds, a lot of them you see have tens of thousands of TikTok followers because they're just doing day in the life videos and hype videos. Yeah. And it's like, they know what they're doing. And I think that's something for brands of, in the research process with any influencer, including student athletes, it's finding someone who, again, has a good fit on social media and that could work your product into that brand. But
So you said the word research, which I think sounds very time consuming from a brand perspective, but obviously the return on investment is that you have identified an athlete that is going to be a super fan, because that's essentially what you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. But correct me if I'm wrong, I would think that as a brand, some good advice would be to do your homework and take a look at how that person will fit for you versus saying, hey, do you want to? And then having more back and forth. You work with collegiate athletes, but you also talk to brands. You've got both sides of the coin of like, hey, tell me why you want him. Or maybe you don't do that. I don't know.
No, I love that, Katya, because those are like the coolest deals. And I could, like you, I can nerd out over influencer marketing just for hours and hours. But there's this, like, she's a Rutgers field hockey athlete. Her name's Carly Snarski. And she just did a deal with this company, 18 Chestnuts. And it's like this healthy for you soup, which I still eat like burgers. I'm not an athlete, but she reaches out to the company and she's like, I'm recently gluten-free and dairy-free, and I've been struggling finding food that fit with my active lifestyle. I could put 18 chestnuts, a bowl of soup in my backpack, and then heat it up. And in 30 seconds, I could be eating food that's good for me, that tastes good, that fits with my new diet. I would love to work. And for that brand, how in the hell are you going to find that perfect athlete who made amazing content? And it just fits in her life cycle. If she made a video, and it was a TikTok of doing exactly that. So I think for brands, that research, it's sure, it could be time consuming, but putting it onto the athlete of, well, why would you want to work with my company? if they're like, I like soup, the content's probably not going to be that great. But if they're like Carly and there's real meat to the pitch of why they want to work with you,
yeah,
I'm biased, but like, cool, let's send you some soup. Here's some money as well. And go have fun and make some content and let's create that long-term partnership, because those are the stories that are engaging and engage an audience and stop someone from scrolling, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all brands are looking to do.
The thumb stopping. That's what I always like to call it. The thumb stopping content.
Exactly. Are you coining that?
I don't think that I have. I'm pretty sure I stole it from somewhere. So nobody say that I said it. I say it quite often. But the other thing that I wanted to ask you was, I really believe that NIL has really opened the floodgates of what is potentially possible. And with those floodgates come the good with the bad. Do you find, I'm trying to figure out the best way to articulate this. And I know that when I wrote it out, I was like, how am I going to ask this without feeling like it's a little touchy? But do you find that schools are leveraging NIL to recruit those top athletes to come to their school?
So the answer to that question is like a yes in quotes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Where there is, have you ever heard of like the NIL is like the Wild Wild West? Have you heard that acronym before?
I have. I always say that influencer marketing is the Wild Wild West. So it makes sense that NIL is as well too. I think anything like that is very new to any sort of space.
Yeah.
There are rules and there are regulations, but then there are no rules or regulations. Does that make sense? I should do a bunch of air quotes all along there.
I could just, I don't know if the video's on for people watching or listening, but I could just have air quotes the whole time and we could run with
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I was like, do I ask this question? But
yeah,
I'm gonna go there. But yeah, like everybody who's listening, this is all air quote information.
Amazing. And by the way, this was absolutely not, I just like to have fun and I know you do too, Katya. I'm happy to answer that question too, because it is the wild, wild west of, look, 500,000 student athletes overnight, a piece of legislation, it's not going to be perfect. And basically the only rule, I'm not going to bore everyone with the legal aspects of it, but it's, you technically, legally cannot induce an athlete of, if you're a high school athlete, they can't look at two schools and say, oh, well, where can I make more money? What's the higher offer? With that being said, there are some stories where that is happening, where the freshman quarterback makes a $9 million NIL deal, right, to go to this university. And there's a lot of back channeling where these brands or these universities, are they involved? There's a lot of boosters who want to get involved because they want their schools to be able to work and get the best athletes to come.
Yeah.
And now it's basically legal to pay athletes. With that being said, I believe that there's two NILs. There's the college quarterbacks making $9 million for just being on the team. And then there's the Carly Snarskys and every other athlete,
yeah,
and 99% of other athletes who, they're not going to make millions of dollars by just being a student athlete. But NIL is just basically opportunity, where you're in the influencer world, right? It's these influencers being able to make connections, being able to make money, being able to, look, even if they don't go pro, if you do a marketing deal with Allbirds, now you're in touch with the marketing manager of Allbirds. How cool is that?
True.
How powerful is that? And that opportunity to make that connection, it's crazy to think that before last year, student athletes couldn't do this.
Yeah.
And that's where the brands that are entering the space now, great, making the connections with these student athletes who are so over the moon to even have this opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And they're open to learning and they're so smart and they're so good on social media. The brands that are diving in head first to student athletes, yes, of course, working with some other marketplaces, whether it's Grin or Market Price or others, making sure that they're staying in the line. But with that being said, in terms of brands and athletes in typical influencer marketing deals, it is wide open. There are going to be a lot of brands that haven't even entered yet that are still going to win because it's still so early. And that's what gets me really excited.
Yeah, I like that. I also really appreciate the fact that you've bucketed NIL into different camps, right? Like, which leads me to my next question, because like the camp that you said are like the quarterbacks, which I think is like that traditional athlete. Not that the other ones are not traditional, okay? But then you've got someone who I believe that you said is field hockey?
Field hockey, yep.
Yeah, okay. So that to me sounds like a variety of athletes right there.
Yeah.
So do you think the NIL ruling has impacted one sport over the other, or is it like a free game for all games?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is maybe another way to answer this one is like, people thought when NIL happened that it would just be for the football players and some of the men's basketball players. And I've had calls with, look, when we first launched, I had one-on-one calls with these athletes, and it was the female volleyball player, it was the track and field athlete, and they're like, yeah, we know brands don't really want to work with me, but I'm interested in learning about it. And it's like, yeah. Well, with, you know, with micro influencers and nano influencers, they have this really highly engaged audience where, sure, they may not lead to hundreds of thousands of sales, but they're going to make amazing content. And for maybe a couple hundred dollars or free product, they can really make some amazing content that converts for you as a, from a brand's point of view, especially at scale. And that's been one of the coolest things to see. We've seen one brand, Goat Fuel, it's like an energy drink. They've worked with over 100 student athletes, and they're still going, working with athletes. Yeah. And there's a lot of ways to enter this market that has been really awesome to see. But yeah, I mean, the other 99% of athletes, the ones that know their time in the spotlight is now.
Yeah.
Those are the athletes who have really been winning. So that's been one of the, not that you asked what the biggest misconception is. I hope you care, because I think it's interesting, but like,
I care. I want to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the, it's not just for the football and basketball players, and like those other athletes, the other 99%, those have been the ones that we've been seeing crushing it because they want to do this. And I think, as you know, if you want to do this, that's the biggest part. If you work with an influencer who's kind of half into it, half out, the content's not going to be great. The results may not be there. You need to make sure they're fully bought in really from the start.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And you said something about gifting products or paying a couple of hundred dollars. What do you see is pretty consistent? Obviously, there are going to be those outliers, right? Mm-hmm. Where someone's just going to take very little for a very short amount of time. And then you've got the people who are on the high ends that have a high price point when it comes to like, this is the athlete that I'm going to work with. Have you found that kind of sweet spot when it comes to compensation for a collegiate athlete? Is it a mix of product gifting and a flat fee? Is it a commission structure? Like, is there a sweet spot that is kind of starting to bubble up?
Yeah, I think it's hard to have a, I'm going to answer this question because I love price transparency, but it's hard to have a sweet spot for 500,000.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we've seen as low as, again, product seeding work really well up to deals in the five figures. Our average deal size is probably around $200-$300 of cash with product on top of it, where that's typically for like the one-off social media post with an athlete. Yeah. And that's something where, you know, it's interesting. The space is brand new. So we've had to do a lot of education on even what is commission and what is an affiliate deal? And if I get free product, what am I supposed to do? And the opportunity, and even like a lot of brands are like, we'll send you product to try it. And they're like, well, do I need to do anything? And it depends on the brand, right? Some brands are like, just try the soup, try the protein bar, try it. And let's see if this can be a longer partnership. And what we've been trying to do is educate the athletes on making content that brands are interested in as well. And that educational content is, it's been really powerful of the Carly Snarsky example, not to keep going back to her, but how many different ways can you advertise that you have healthy soup, right? It gets boring after a while.
Absolutely.
No one's going to follow that. But if you get stories of, well, here's when I eat this soup, right? Here's why I do this, and getting those user stories, there's, again, a ton of examples that we have. But I'd say the biggest thing for the brands is to understand, why would an athlete use the product? Why would a student athlete be interested in this, and really focus in on the why versus getting hooked on the, we've never had a conversation with an athlete where they're like, oh, they're offering me 10% commission. Can they make it 15? That hasn't happened once.
Yeah.
So for the student athlete, it's more of, how does this brand tie into my personal brand? It's actually advice we give out to student athletes of, don't jump at every opportunity, which we could dive into as well as we like, but some are just so excited about it and want to do any deal. But for us, it's, okay, make sure it fits in your brand. Make sure it's something that, look, it's going to be on your social media profile. You're going to have to post about it. Does that fit with you? Does that fit with what you're trying to do from a long-term perspective? So I'm not sure how we got there, but I hope that helps give some context. And
I'm
happy to keep moving.
It sounds like when it comes to just the compensation piece, that it is really hard to just kind of pin it down. Product gifting does sound like a really great way. And this is something that I know from an influence marketing space, I'm always trying to push as well too. Product gifting is really great because that's an introduction to your brand.
Yeah.
Don't expect something. You will get something back because it's amazing to me. Even if someone tries it and they love it, but it's maybe not that brand deal for them, you still have your product in someone else's hand. And then what happens is that word of mouth comes from it. And like, that's really where like that ROI comes in. Maybe they give it to their cousin and their cousin freaking loves it, right? But you would have never thought
of like asking their cousin. So I think that there are a lot of things that come from product gifting, but it also sounds like having a flat fee is helpful because they are kind of in like this younger space and not as well versed in business maybe. Mm-hmm. So commission is may not be that sweet spot. I also think, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this because I'm a collegiate athlete. I'm at school for 4 years, ideally, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, right? Like how long is that partnership? And if you tie it just to their sport versus their lifestyle, if it's that product placement versus lifestyle, I think as a brand, you're in a better spot if you're looking for that better fit, right?
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. And yeah, it's something that with these student athletes, it's like, if you find a product that really speaks to them, and by the way, I don't know how long these deals last because it's only been a year. I think it's still to figure out these student athletes, but yeah, it's just finding athletes. And look, I think that this is going to be a generational shift where student athletes now are just like, oh, let me do it because I may only have 1 or 2 years left. We've already started seeing high school athletes trying to sign up. And in some states you can, some states you can't do marketing deals. Like in California, you can't. But in other states, you can't legally get paid for marketing deals. And they've already started coming to Market Price of like, hey, I know I may not be doing deals now, but I'd love to learn more. And that's going to be something where these creators are getting younger and younger. They're getting smarter and smarter. And the best brands are going to really understand, okay, great. If you're trying to target Gen Z, which look, I listen to this podcast all the time. There's a lot of brands who would love to target Gen Z.
Yeah.
How is a marketing manager in their 40s going to know how to target an 18-year-old? Why don't you listen to the 18, 19-year-old and see what language that they're speaking and really build your product and brand around that?
You specifically spoke about like Gen Z, and then we've got all of the social media platforms and what generation fits in what sort of social media network, right? Do you find that most college athletes slide into a specific network? Are you seeing more TikTok and YouTube versus Instagram? Because I cannot imagine anyone's on Facebook. No offense to Facebook, but like just from a generational standpoint, those youth, they're in like...
Sound older. Yeah, no.
I know, funny. Exactly.
We've seen a huge revamp on Facebook where a lot of it... I'm just kidding. I wanted to see your face.
I was around when Facebook first came out, so, and MySpace, but that's for another podcast.
I will interrupt before you keep going down that path and we start losing people. I'm just messing with you. No, we've seen it's crazy. Like there's so many athletes we work with. They have like 8,000 followers on Instagram and 80,000 on TikTok.
Yeah.
And what we've been trying to understand with brands also is like for TikTok, that is a huge opportunity where any of these videos can absolutely blow up and repetition is really important too. So we've seen a ton of like you get a video and you post it on Reels and TikTok and then like every other brand is doing, we see how that performs. But we've seen Instagram and TikTok. We've seen athletes with a lot more followers on TikTok than Instagram recently, but we've still seen brands predominantly spending on whether it's just Instagram stories and posts, TikTok too, but a little bit more secondary. And look, we're not the entire market, but also a lot of whitelisting, right? So getting some content that they're able to, whether whitelist or use in their own advertisements.
Yeah, there is a ton out there and there's a lot of opportunity just kind of for brands. Now, to go back to what you were saying in regards to the education piece for these athletes, I'd love to get some insight into like the areas that you think that you have to educate them kind of the most. I'd mentioned that influencer marketing is the Wild West and this area with the NIL ruling also is as well. What are like the top things that you find that are on kind of repeat when you are speaking to these athletes?
Yeah. One thing that's really important to keep in mind too, because education is such a big, broad word where it's like, there are so many universities trying to educate athletes on NIL and a lot of agencies, hey, let me educate these student athletes. And there's so much education out there that student athletes just don't care about. And they're too smart and they're too savvy of like, you know, you teach them a 30-minute recorded video on financial literacy. Should they watch it? Yes. Are they going to? No. So it's how can you speak to them in a language that they understand? And quickly shout out our athlete engagement team and Sam Green from Market Price. She is a rock star and she is a former agent herself, a former video editor. And what these athletes are really listening to us about is content creation, both like how they can keep up content and consistently post. And you covered it with Mitchell Pelkey from Ohio State, the lacrosse player, of cool, he has so much on his plate. How can he consistently make content? Some athletes know how. Some athletes see Mitchell and want to follow him, but don't know how yet.
Yeah.
And not only content, but branded content and how to partner with businesses of, yeah, sure, now they can work with brands, but what do they message them? And what are brands looking for? And a lot of them have that FOMO of they want to get involved, but they just might not know how. So I think those two pillars of the content and then the partnerships aspect of every student athlete wants to make more money from these deals. And anything that goes into that of you talk to brands all the time. If they make content that converts, whether it's for awareness or sales, if the student athlete really loves the brand and they deliver great results, the brand's going to want to keep working with them. So how can student athletes, how can we be that connective tissue between the business and the athletes and help these athletes just be the best brand ambassadors ever? Because we know it's going to be like a full circle, if that makes sense, of like athletes deliver better content. Brands are happier, they're going to keep working with athletes. So
I definitely think it is a full circle. I was kind of curious as to how you teach them how to show their value. As a brand, I want to be able to have a conversation that is mutually beneficial, right? So my language is metrics. Tell me about your engagement rate. Tell me about like your followers. Tell me about your audience. Like, is the education on your side with the athlete the same way? Like, this is how you can represent yourself well. Say, hey, I ran this campaign. I did this. You know, this is the type of engagement. This is my audience. Is there that kind of education and teaching happening for you as you connect with athletes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've seen, I mean, we provide a ton of data like Grin does also on like, you know, if an athlete has X percentage male versus female following, X percentage, what age groups they come from with student athletes, especially, you know, if they go to school at the University of Florida, a lot of these athletes have like 60, 70% of their followers in Gainesville, Florida, where the university is located because it's other students. So that in and of itself is really attractive to a lot of brands because they didn't really know how hyper local that they could target with these athletes. And that's been something really interesting. But for the student athletes, that is something where, look, we think that can be a big advantage of these student athletes talking to their metrics and talking to content. I don't think student athletes are there yet. The vast majority of them, the Mitchell Pelkies, the athletes who have done tons and tons of deals, absolutely. But this is where I think it's been only 1 year. So there's going to be a lot of learnings of how student athletes should carry themselves, what they should focus on. I know you're going to ask me my biggest prediction because you do it every single episode, but that's going to go into it. This is a generational shift. I think student athletes today are so different than ones in 4 years, going to be different than the ones in 10 years. And I'll stop talking because I'll save it for later. But anyways.
Well, we've reached that point. So it was like, so, but you had called, you called it out sooner because I was going to ask you, you're right. It has only been a little bit over a year. So it is prediction time because it's only been, you know, a little over a year. What do you see happening in the next year and a half?
Yeah, I think after talking with, and look, we've had thousands of one-on-one conversations with athletes, and that has been something that is so crucial in this new space. We've also had a ton of conversations with universities, and I've spoken with some huge universities that have like 1,000 student athletes, and over a year into NIL, they're like, yeah, we're still just kind of getting to the starting line. And we still don't know totally what to do yet, where if you have problems with school, there's a tutor. You have problems with on the field and you get hurt, right? There's a trainer. Yeah. You need career coaching. There's a career center. When it comes to NIL, where these student athletes are all the time on the university, a lot of schools just go like, and they shrug and they say, ah, you could kind of figure that out yourself.
Yeah.
Now, what I'd love to see, and I think these universities, and we're looking to partner with a lot of them moving forward, but they're going to take a lot more active stance as NIL becomes a lot more normalized. And I think even bigger hand, like I think just the creator in general, there's 50 million creators out there, 2 million are professional. I think that there's going to be a lot of not just student athletes, but students who are becoming creators and who are learning from the university. UConn just hired someone to coach student athletes on creating better content. They have someone on their payroll at UConn who helps student athletes make awesome content and do brand partnerships. I think things like that will get a lot more normalized where there's going to be a lot more opportunity for just creators from a whole. And this is why I'm so bullish on the creator economy. I know you guys are too.
Yes.
But education in the space of, well, great, this is still kind of new, the creator economy. It's been like 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be something where a lot more universities, especially in the space, in the NIL space, are going to take a more active approach on educating on how to be a successful creator and how to make actually a career out of this.
I love this prediction. I love this prediction because let's make it happen. Well, because I'm right on board with it, because I think that you're right when it comes to the creator economy. This NIL is like that next part of it that's going to feed into it. And there's so much education that's still needed in the space, which is interesting for something like influencer marketing that's actually been around for longer than people think.
Yeah.
The amount of education in this creator economy is like people are going to be thirsting for it. You know what I mean? And I love idea of it being in schools. I know that we get approached often, and I'm actually currently working on a curriculum for influencer marketing managers. Like this is how you do all of these things, right? Well, we'll talk after that. But but you know what I mean? Like there are a lot more schools that are approaching it saying like, hey, this is not going away. This is going to be a discipline. We need to prep our students for the creator economy when they get out of college. And that means from the creator standpoint, from the brand standpoint, from the marketing standpoint, like there are going to be these evolutions. Now this has turned into my prediction. So I apologize.
No, it's amazing. We're on the same exact page. And can I give a bonus prediction, or are you going to kill me for going over?
Yes, give me a bonus.
Just because I went to UF, so down in Gainesville, and I wanted to go there because Tim Tebow and Joakim Noah and Al Horford, the awesome athletes that were playing there, right?
Yeah.
And these schools, I think, are also going to get smarter where why can't they pay student athletes there to advertise a day in the life as a student, right? Like, why is it important to go to University of Florida? Can they actually pay student athletes for NIL deals to advertise the university and to advertise, you asked it, right? Like, how can universities get ahead of the NIL game? We've already seen it where like the Chicago White Sox, they did deals with double digit student athletes who are from Chicago. And they're not baseball players. And who follows student athletes who are from Chicago or go to school in Chicago? Other people in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So that Gen Z market that baseball is trying to reach, the White Sox are getting ahead of it. I think universities are going to start really not only educating their student athletes and their student base, but hopefully even paying them to promote the university itself and make it cool to go to that school. Did not mean to rhyme. I hope that didn't sound weird. I'll let you wrap this up.
Now I can't rhyme and the expectations are high. Well, let me leave you with this. Thank you so much for coming on. I know it took us a while to get this locked in, but I am so thankful that you did and that you were able to share some of your insights.
Thank you so much. Again, if you're listening to this already, keep listening. This podcast is the best. So I can't wait, and watch out for that Katya influencer marketing course. I know I love
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, athlete marketing is starting to become one of my most favorite topics. It takes influencer marketing to a whole other playing field. Yes, pun was intended there. But seriously, Jason described the research that's needed from kind of both sides, right? From brand and athlete, to find that right match for the athlete's personal brand. That to me is the key for that long-term partnership that really results in authentic content and really getting your message out there as a brand. Now, I'm going to leave a thought starter for you, which is something that I don't really do, but here's the question. How could your brand fit into the lifestyle of an athlete? Noodle on that one. Now, if you want to hear more, be sure to subscribe to the Groom Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes. Give us some stars and leave a review. Let me know what you like or a favorite episode. Love that. Connect with me on social. You can find me on LinkedIn, Katya Allison. And if you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.